Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select Eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller, lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Once I played a penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. A girl who loved to beat. A girl who's recently deceased. A real cool mom. A musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey. Now come with me. Carrie Butler, together you and I are breaking Broadway.
Hello, I'm here with Annie Meisels.
Hello.
And she has done a gazillion voiceovers, commercials, and is a very accomplished theater actress, television actress. You can go look her up on IMDb. She's been on like almost every television show that's filmed in New York City.
You've been on a lot of TV shows. I've been on a couple, but not as many as you.
She's an amazing actress. And today's topic is, what other ways can you use your talents and skills and still get paid?
Right, right.
On those times when you're not performing in a show.
Mama needs to make money.
So, first, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story, how you got started. You went to college.
Yes. Yeah, so, ever since I was a little girl, I always knew I wanted to be an actress, which fascinated me because going to college, you meet all these people who just didn't know what to major in. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean you don't know? Does everyone know? Like, how do you go to college and not know? But that's very common. So I went to school for acting. I am also an athlete, or I was, and I had a scholarship to go play lacrosse at a Division I school. And I turned it down to be an actress. And then years later, I apologized to my father. But I just wanted to be an actress. So I went to Rutgers, which had a theater
very good
program. And that's sort of, they have a showcase, much like Ithaca, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they have a showcase, and then from your showcase is where I got my manager, and then...
Who you're still with now.
Who I'm right? still with. I was talking to him recently, he's like, don't worry, you're a lifer.
For 20 years.
God, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. which isn't common. But anyway, through him, and also through the showcase, I got an agent way back when. I've had a couple agents since.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, me too.
I don't know. I think I got my commercial agents back then as well. And then, so I was already in sort of commercials, and I had a theatrical agent, and I wanted to get into voiceovers. And I remember it was time to re-sign. It was SEM&M.
Yeah, we were both the same agent.
Yeah. So it was SEM&M. It was time to resign. And I called my manager. And I'm like, it's time to resign. He's like, don't you want to do voiceovers? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, well, let me talk to them. And he literally just said, hey, she wants to get sent out for voiceovers. And they said, okay. And that was the end of it. And then I started doing voiceovers, and I booked doing voiceovers. So they sort of stopped sending me out on camera. Mm-hmm. So then it was this whole balance that I'm literally still working out today.
Yes.
So, and now, now I coach.
That's
people
right.
who want to do voiceovers. I mean, the whole landscape has completely changed.
I know. Like,
so.
We used to be able to really make a living doing voiceovers. Now they go a lot
It's challenging.
Non-union.
There's a lot of non-union work. I mean, we would have 5 auditions a day.
Yes.
So that would be, 20 auditions a week, because you're just bumping from one to one to one. And then you'd have 2 bookings a week. Like, mm-hmm. that was a normal week. Mm-hmm. Even if it was like, oh, you're just doing radio, yeah. which is hilarious. Yeah. Now we're like, yeah, I'll do an industrial for $2 an hour. Yeah, I'm totally going to do that. But the landscape has changed. There's so much non-union work. And the scary thing is that union people are thinking about...
Oh, and by union, because this is for beginners, yeah. we're talking about SAG-AFTRA.
SAG-AFTRA, yeah.
That's for television and film.
Yeah, AFTRA is...
Voice.
American Federation for Television and Radio Arts, which was always the voiceover.
Right.
Unless you were on camera for TV, which I think went on to SAG.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, now they're combined, so it doesn't matter. But now they use a lot of non-union people, and because union actors and actresses are struggling to get work because so much of it is going non-union, they are thinking about going FICOR, which means you put yourself in a position where I think you pay dues to the union, but you're no longer allowed to vote.
Oh.
And then you can do non-union work, but it really weakens the union.
Yeah.
So it's not really a great idea.
Right.
No.
Wow.
And then what you're doing is strengthening the non-union work, which is taking your work away from you. And believe me, the union has your back.
I mean,
you're going to get paid more, you're going to get residuals, you're going to get all sorts of things, where oftentimes in non-union, it's a one-off and you're getting not a lot of money. And so I encourage
everybody to the unions give us health care.
Everything.
So what do you teach people in your voiceover class? Like, what skills do you think you need to have?
I think you generally, in the most basic way, and you know this too, but I think you just need to sort of be able to break down a script.
Yeah,
easily.
So it's your basic acting skills.
Yeah, it's your basic acting skills, but also, you know, when you're auditioning for television or film or theater, you're invested. You're very invested. You work on those. We coach together, you know, like you work. On a voiceover, you get the script right then,
mm-hmm.
and you go in. So you're not invested. And truly, the more you invest,
sometimes the less
the
you
worse
get.
It, yes. Yeah, the
yes,
worse it is.
That's true. That's true. Sometimes it's just off the cuff. But you have to have those skills in you to be able to make it sound off the cuff.
Right. I mean, it's your instinct. A lot of it is
instinct.
And then just be able to sort of break down a script. What are the operative words? What do you, you know?
Some people have amazing voices and everybody tells them, oh, you should do a voiceover. But unless you have those acting skills, then you're not going to get the work.
You're not. I mean, I know a girl who, on both ends, I know a girl who sounds so, for lack of a better word, normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't have a sort of raspy voice, or she also doesn't have some sort of very distinguishing quality to her voice. She books all the time. Or at least she did. I haven't seen her in a while because she moved to London. But she had accounts after accounts after accounts. And she just sounded like your everyday gal. And then I know another girl who has that very distinctive quality to her voice, and she can go super low. And she just has this very distinctive voice, and she just couldn't do it. She's a great actress, but she couldn't do the voiceover thing. She was very good friends with a voiceover agent who they tried.
Wow.
He's like, it's just not your thing. So
it's interesting. Like, there's different kind of copy too.
Right.
Like, the ones I feel like I get the most are ones that are funny.
Yeah.
But then, it's almost hard sometimes sounding natural, selling. That's the thing that I feel like you could help the most with, because having like these really wordy phrases and things that don't sound it's really hard to make the copy sound
really
natural.
Hard. Yeah, we used to joke about that bit, getting in the booth, and they're like, by the way, you know, don't sound like an announcer. And the first word is introducing.
Yeah.
Like, well, you have to go against all your instincts. But I would say even the trend now, do you remember back in the Volkswagen days? Like, I have this kind of like thing. I'm like, oh, yes, the Volkswagen days. And Volkswagen, they had... It was that whole, like, Kate Moss was the model of the time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she had this, I don't really care about life,
yes.
you know, attitude.
Yes.
And that was the voiceovers. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, Volkswagen.
Yes.
Get one if you want it. You know, that wasn't the copy, but it was really.
No, totally.
You didn't care. There's a trend not going back to the sort of grunge of that, but the real, like, the less you care, like, the less animated you are, which for me, I tend to go animated.
Me too.
So they're my... my engineer is always saying,
do less.
Yeah, just bring it down and
throw it away.
Throw it away. That's a common thing, but he's like, you're doing too much, or, you know, so I have to constantly pull my own self back to not care. But yeah, I think.
Oh, I know what else we should talk about. A lot of times now, agents, almost all our auditions are done at home.
Yeah, a lot of them are done at home or at the office, but there's not so much at casting directors now. Right. Although it's coming
there
back
are,
a little
yeah,
bit. It's
yeah, there are back. Some. So what happens when you get an audition? They'll call you. You either go into the office,
right,
and wherever it is, the casting director, sign in on the paper. You don't need a headshot and resume. You don't need to.
No. So if you go to
and then they call you into the booth, you get the sides that minute, and then you go in and record it. But lately, we're getting it sent from our agents.
Right. So, oddly, if I get an audition for television or film, and they say, can you self-record it? I actually prefer that because I feel like I have more control.
Me too.
Right? Mm-hmm. I can do 1,000 takes. Yes. I can look at it afterwards. For a voiceover, I prefer to go in. I prefer to be directed by the engineer at the office or any person who's...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because I just, you know, I need perspective. Mm. You know, I need perspective. So it's always nice to have another ear. So
do you think people need to have, if they want to pursue this, do you think they need like a really nice microphone, a place where they can record?
Well, now I think agencies will almost require it. Do you have something, a place at home where you can record auditions? Because so much is now done at the office and the office doesn't have enough space or time. So you have to send in an MP3.
Yeah.
So some people do it off their phone, but the quality's not that great.
Right.
But people have booked off their phone.
Yeah, I have.
there you go. I mean, what do you use at home?
Well, I did have a fancy microphone. I think I got maybe a Snowflake.
Yeah.
What do you have?
I have a fancy one too, but I don't think it's a Snowflake, but that's fine. I don't know what it is, but.
But sometimes I do just use my phone just because it's a little bit easier with recording it and sending it for me.
And do
you have to go through GarageBand, I think, when I use the microphone, and I don't know, it just turns into a lot for me.
So on the phone. We don't want to do too many steps. Yeah. But for the phone, you just send it. You don't. You know. Yeah. So if you do. Well,
so don't do that, maybe, people. Don't follow my example.
Well, no, people do book. Definitely, people do book. But do you have, when you do use a microphone, do you like put yourself in a closet?
Oh, I go into my closet with all of my clothes. My closet, Annie knows me, I'm a mess. My closet is a mess. Like there is stuff all over the floor. And I'm in there locked with the door closed, clothes hanging on my head and laundry basket next to me. Sometimes I balance my pages on the laundry basket.
But it's probably good because it sucks in the sound.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. People hide themselves in their closets. I mean, they have this whole like, and they get, you know, foam and everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I take my pillows. This is how, you know, makeshift I am. I'm very professional. I take my pillows and I make like a teepee and then I put a blanket over my head. And so I'm in a very non-vocally... professional, whatever you want to call it, position. I'm half the time like crunched over. And it's not, you know, I don't recommend it because some people have like a situation where they're standing up and there's a
music
standing.
I mean, for people just starting out, they don't want to spend a ton of money.
No, that's totally fine. A great idea. But be able to do that so your sound quality is pretty good. If you use your microphone, you need GarageBand, or I use an app called Audacity. It lets you do multiple recordings, like multiple takes.
Oh. And edit them?
And edit them, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
But there's something that I don't even know. Like, I know somebody who's so technologically savvy, which I am not. Mm-hmm. And she's like, my her levels are all set. I'm like, levels?
Oh, wow.
What are levels? Like, is there a tab for levels? No wonder I'm not booking off my, you know, like. I prefer to go in if I can.
Okay. And.
So, yeah, you're signing in. You were talking about that, what you do. But you don't sign in at your agency usually. Right. Or maybe you do. I mean, we don't. Right. Do you? Well, you're at my agency.
No, not anymore.
Oh, that's right. So do you sign in at your new one?
They don't. I do it all on my own.
Oh, you never go in there?
I never go in.
Oh, can you if you want?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
But I like it. I like doing it on my own. I like it much more. now, what about, have you ever done an audiobook?
I have. I've done maybe two.
Again, we get those through our agents too, right?
Yeah. I think so. I know some people who really do a lot of audiobooks. And in that case, they might sort of have an in, and then the producers might just call them.
Yes.
But I don't know for sure because it's not my thing. Mm-hmm. I don't like doing 4-hour sessions. I mean, you have to do long sessions of reading for days or, you know, at least one day, 8 hours. So I don't really like doing audiobooks, but unless I've done an audiobook where I'm a character in an audiobook.
Yeah, that's fun.
So I've done that. That's fun.
Yeah, I've done audiobooks too. And to train myself, because I knew as an actor, we absolutely have to have our hand in as much as we can to make a living as an actor.
Yeah.
And so I went to, I think it was the Jewish Institute for the Blind, and I volunteered to read books there.
Oh my God, I
there.
Wanted to do that once. I never did
And I did it, and it was amazing, and you're actually in a studio, and so you feel good about yourself because you're doing something good for other people.
That was so
And
smart
then
of
I
you.
Also learned great skills on how to record and for a long amount of time.
So so you're not reading to them live?
No.
You're reading,
I mean, now you probably, I don't know whether they still do that because there are so many actual audiobooks.
But that is such a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
But so anyway, I'm saying that you can practice that on your own.
Yeah, and you can
and
also
you should
do it on your phone and play
because,
back.
Yeah, you do it on your phone. Play back. Because you have to be able, if you can't go a long time reading out loud, then they will definitely not use you again.
For an audiobook?
Yeah.
Well,
and
and
like I did a few teen ones and it was like 4 or 5 hours and I think they want it to go as fast as possible. And so they would love it for you not to make mistakes.
Yeah. But it's challenging.
Yeah.
It's really challenging.
Just read or listened to Tova Feldshuh.
Yeah. Do what?
Do this book called The Choice. It's so good. And she was giving a performance.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, my gosh. It is amazing. Listen to it if you can. First of all, the book is amazing, and Tova's performance, I think they give awards for that. And
is that right?
She could be up for an award. She was spectacular.
Wow.
Yes.
I do have a warning.
The Choice.
Okay.
Audible.
Have you ever done a video game?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
I have, too.
Yes.
I
was going to talk about that, too.
Really?
Yeah. They're really hard.
They are.
Right?
Hard.
Yes.
I don't want to do it again.
I had to do... So I'm on this really famous, fancy video game by Rockstar. Oh my gosh. Everyone's going to kill me for not knowing what it is. Is it Redemption? Dead something? It's really, really big. And I'm on that. And I'm actually, not to brag or anything, but I've been voted the sexiest person to give a bath on YouTube. On Red Dead Redemption.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I could give you a bath.
Oh my goodness, you're going to get some.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
But so this is crazy. You go into this tiny studio that's hot, and you put on all this headgear.
Oh, I didn't have to do any of that.
Oh, because you put on all this headgear, and then they have cameras.
Oh, they're using
on
you.
The on the head, you're like, this helmet has a camera facing you, and it's so close. You're filming your face. You can see your pores. And so they're filming all your facial reactions to go with your video game character.
And then they're also
filming your body as you're doing it. And there's so much screaming.
That was my problem.
Yes.
That was my problem. And you have to do every single sound.
Yes. And for hours. And then I would have to go do a show and be like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sing.
I was doing a show at the time and I had to do these things. And I was like, I was on prednisone. They had to put me on steroids because I lost my voice. Yeah. I mean, I was like, I'm never doing this again.
I will say doing those, that's a great job. I have friends who have been on like the stars of those games, and it's actually brought them recognition. Because they're like on huge billboards. It's them. You can tell it's them.
Oh.
And
that's great.
It's months and months of work. And then they get to go to all of those like Comic-Con things.
Yeah.
They're famous in the video game world.
Do you know Steven Ogg?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking
of. You're talking about. Yeah, exactly. He totally busted out through that.
Yes.
That was great.
Yes,
was
so great. It's like you never know what could lead to something, what could help your career.
I was on one that was also quite famous that I honestly have no idea what it's called, but people like, oh my God, I saw your credits on this. Did you do that? I literally called my agent and said, did I ever get paid for something called this? They're like, yeah. It's like, oh yeah, that was me. That was me, definitely. And I was like a character again. So that was like...
So how you audition for those is the same as you would audition for anything else. You get a call from your voiceover agent. It's voiceover. It's voiceover. You get a call from a voiceover agent. You go in. Right. Or you could even do it, in your house, record the lines. You don't have the other person's lines.
Right.
And you just say these things. You have no idea what the story is.
They're very
secretive.
Yeah. I think I just auditioned for something yesterday where, you know, you're a robot.
Yeah.
You know, you're a robot but sexy or something like that. And you have to read like random lines unless they're like, say this as if, you know, say this as if you're annoyed. So it's a really weird direction, like, they don't really give you context, or they do give you context, but it's all some weird world. But yeah, it's the same idea. You just go in and you audition, or they come. It's actually more fun to audition for that because you're a character, you're not selling.
Yeah, I know. That is fun. And then another way to use your skills is doing cartoons. Have you done cartoons?
Have I done cartoons? I did one kind of interstitial, is that what they're called, thing? But...
I'm surprised you haven't done more cartoons. You have great cartoon voice. Yeah,
I would love to do cartoons. I just never. Audition for them.
You don't audition for them?
Mm-mm, do you?
I mean, I do. I auditioned for a lot of cartoons.
Recently, I have in the past like 3 months, but before that, I hadn't.
I love doing cartoons.
Really?
I mean,
I would love
so
to do them.
They're so much fun.
And I don't know why. I assume they cast more out of LA, but that's.
They do cast a lot in LA, but.
That's great. Which ones did you do?
I did this one called Princess Guinevere and the Jewel Riders. I was Princess Guinevere. And then I played like her dark sister. This is Princess
That's
Guinevere
fun.
By the power of the Jewel Stone. I said something like that.
Oh.
And then her sister, I would talk much lower.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was really, really fun.
Oh my God.
But so that is, sometimes you do cartoons and you record with everybody else in the room. And sometimes you just stand in a booth and you only record your lines, and they'll give you the direction like, oh, and this is happening here. And so then you just say your lines a bunch of times and then they just edit your performance kind of.
Yeah. I will say it depends on what you're auditioning for. One of the most fun things to work on is something that's with a pair. With a partner.
Oh, yeah.
But then you have to be careful. Do you want us to overlap? Do you not want us to overlap? So, you know, that's just something that you figure out when you're in the booth. I'm trying to think of what would help them, what would help people, you know, when you're in the booth, what kind of direction you get. You know, those kind of things like terms of the,
you know,
like,
business.
Yeah, throw it away more, add a smile.
Oh, yeah, they say that.
Because, you know, you smile and it all of a sudden sounds happier, even if you're not.
Yeah, true.
What else do they say? I felt bad. I was in the booth with this girl and she was getting all this, you know, she told her to, you can ad-lib. And then she did. She's like, you know, that's not what it says. Read the script. I was like, you told me.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I was like,
Yeah, actually, ad-libbing does help sometimes getting a commercial if you go into the audition, if you're funny.
Yeah.
If you can think of something funny to say.
Or a button.
Yeah, a button. You can't change the lines. You can't change the script, I don't think.
You can change the script, but occasionally you can add a like if it says, welcome to Lowe's or something like that. You can say, hi, welcome to Lowe's.
Right.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can. Or in the middle of it, you can add a word occasionally. I mean, they kind of want one clean. And then you'll say, hey, can I ask the casting director, hey, can I add a little bit or can I improv a little bit? But they probably want one clean, meaning one the way it's written. Clean means the way.
Oh, and then another thing is they'll say slate. And so that is when, do your slate. And then I'll do mine.
Oh, God. Would you actually have one that's not?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Annie Meisels.
Okay. So that's kind of
that's
like
pretty
mine.
Pretty much
so
it.
Some people just will be like, Carrie Butler, you know. But I always add personality to my stand.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm Carrie Butler.
Right. I think it's good. And actually, I learn from somebody because I, you know, let's say the script was a poppy, like, fun girl.
Right.
And I would end up going, hi, I'm Annie Meisels.
Yeah.
And then, hi, and then turn into this girl. And she... I remember she was playing like a very important person and she literally went, I'm going to say Jane Doe, but she was like, hi, this is Jane Doe. And then she went into her. And I was
think
like,
that's smart.
I think
you
smart
should slate.
Too.
And actually that goes for acting auditions too, which I don't do. But I think that you should walk into the room
and slate
as
your
close
character.
To the character.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
Because I think people sometimes don't have imaginations. And they want to cast the part.
Yes, the person. Do you know that one time, this is way long ago, but it was AT&T WorldNet, whatever that used to be. And I had auditioned for something, and I met the producer later, and he said, I wanted you when I heard your slate. And I was slating for something else. Then he called me in again, and, you know. I mean, that's another thing is my voice has changed, personally, and I think it was because of the time I was on Pregnisone, and I blew out my voice from that video game. But my voice has changed, so that, I don't know, that could be, I used to have a much more raspier voice. But then that goes back to what you were saying, where you really have to sort of not just have a specific voice, but also have the technique to you know, find the operative words or throw it away or do something off the cuff.
Yeah. Even for voiceovers, I'll become different characters.
Yeah.
Just like you said, like sometimes you're the important person. Sometimes you are the mom.
Right.
I have a different mom voice.
Right. And slate in that voice.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you're this, you know, the really sexy, deep voice.
Right.
Kind of selling suntan lotion.
I just did... some weird cat cartoon thing. Hi, this is Annie. You know,
yeah,
and you have to go into it. Yeah.
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 And
smart.
So actually a way you can practice this is at home, come up, especially if you want to do cartoons, come up with a ton of different characters.
Yeah.
Name them and record yourself. And so then when you get the audition, you could say, oh, that dog character that I do,
you
that's good for
yeah,
this voice.
Exactly.
So then you have a whole, just like you want a book of your songs, different song for different part, you have a book of your characters that you can think of off the top of your head. You have this.
Pull
it right out. Oh, which character voice would be right for this? And so then you don't do the same exact voice for every single character.
Yeah, that's really smart.
And that's a way you can do homework on your own while you're waiting for the auditions.
And record it.
Yeah.
Record it on your phone. Listen back so you know what you sound like.
Yeah. Okay, so our last thing that we'll talk about is just commercials, TV commercials. A lot of times when you go in for TV commercials, so the same thing, you sign in. Wait in the hallway. And
waiting area, wherever it is.
Yeah, and then and then they call you in. A lot of times you'll go in with a pair or whatever, and you're playing different parts. But I felt like, I don't do on-camera commercials anymore, but I felt like when I did, they would ask you to improv a lot.
Sometimes. I think it just depends on the product and the production. You know, like the producers. Like, oh, these people love it. They want to hear your personality. They want to watch you do something different. And usually what happens is if you have a lot of copy, and copy means script. Mm-hmm. So if you have a lot of copy, they will have it written up on a big piece of tag board right next to the camera. So it definitely helps if you can memorize as much as you can, but it is going to be written up there. The problem is if you have to look at your partner and then look back to right next to camera to read the script. So I often will kind of paraphrase yeah. if I need to. But you should be able to feel comfortable paraphrasing, and then they'll tell you, well, you said it wrong, and then you know, okay, I need to stick to the script.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for voiceovers and for TV commercials, you should really, you can't improvise the product.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You have to know the product, and that is usually an operative word, meaning that's what you need to land on your mm-hmm. audience, the operative word. So Carrie happens to be drinking Vita Coco coconut milk, right? Coconut water right now. So you don't want to say, like, Vita coconut water is the best thing you'd ever find. You have to say, Vita Coco coconut water is the best thing you'll ever find. You have to.
Thank you for sponsoring us, Vita Coco.
Yes, thank you for sponsoring us. We are here on 53rd. No, but you can't.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
She just spilled my Vita coconut water.
But you can't just throw away the product. So even if you're improvising, make sure the product is clear. But on-camera commercials, yeah, I'm trying.
Before I would go in, don't they show you, like, oh, this is a breakdown? Sometimes you're just going in and doing something, like, because they're having a ton of different people.
Right.
Oh, like, actually, where Annie and I met
on a commercial
was doing a Gateway commercial.
Yeah, I forgot it was Gateway.
And all we had to do was make faces at the camera, I think.
We had to say one line.
But I didn't get, you got to say the line. I didn't get to say the line.
We were still both like in the commercial.
We played college students.
Yeah.
That's how long we were friends.
That was so long ago.
And
I was
so joking. I would, before I would go into these auditions, I would improvise in my head and think about different things I could do that would be funny.
Mm.
Just whatever they're throwing out at me so that I'm prepared. I use my time in the waiting room just thinking about things I could that they could possibly ask me.
To do.
And, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And there's often a storyboard. So a storyboard are pictures of the different frames, right? So they'll be like, in this frame, you'll see a mother and child walking to a car. In this frame, you'll see the Subaru Forester car, and it'll say underneath, like, you know, the card of Subaru Forester, so that's not you. And then it'll say, mother says, honey, climb in, we're going to soccer. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can actually see what happens in the commercial.
And that's actually a good point for voiceovers too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the visual can give you an idea of how to say that line. So if they're showing a beautiful sunset, you know, oh, you should feel like when you say that line, you should feel like you're looking at that beautiful sunset.
But on that note,
yeah,
when you are doing a voiceover audition for on camera
mm-hmm.
or a job for on camera, they are seeing the picture. So you don't have to go overboard vocally.
Right, right, right.
Whereas if you're doing radio, you need to paint the picture with your voice because there is no visual picture.
That's a really good
point. So
there's
a difference.
Good point.
So, you know, that's for on-camera, it's different. I mean, for on-camera,
but yeah, so anyway, on-camera, you'll see what it's going to be from the storyboard.
Yeah. And then you just go in and you slate and you go into it.
Okay, so our last thing now,
oh,
for real,
okay,
is Annie's new business that she started.
Well, I coach voiceovers, mm-hmm. and I actually coach acting too, auditions, mm-hmm. but I also am a public speaking coach. So I am doing a big workshop for a company called Teach for All on Thursday, and I'm doing a big workshop for a law firm next week.
And so what are you doing?
And
so you're using
clients,
your acting skills.
And I absolutely use my acting and voiceover skills 100%. So you know this, I don't know all you listeners out there, but you're most likely in our world, the acting world, the business as we call it. So I find that often these skills of public speaking, they come naturally to us.
Right.
I mean, we like being mm-hmm. the center of attention and being on stage. But there are those that don't, and especially those that are not in the business.
Yes.
And they don't know what to do, and they have very important information to get across, and they get so nervous, and they get so freaked out and sweaty palms, and their focus is all on the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, from tip to tail, give them tools and techniques to use so they can feel confident, they can feel at ease, they can feel comfortable to get up in front of anybody and make a speech go from good to great.
That's great. And so it's almost like you're coaching them to do a monologue.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I think I think with a monologue, it's a little different. When you're getting up to do a public speech or a presentation, engaging the audience is wonderful. The more you can engage the audience, the better. When you're doing a monologue, the audience is in your head. Right. I mean, they're there,
right.
But you're talking to somebody specific in your head, mm-hmm. And you don't need to ask rhetorical questions like, hey, has this ever happened to you? Or mm-hmm. show of hands, or things that really engage your audience. So, because you're worried about losing your audience, whether you're on stage as an actor or whether you're on stage as a presenter. Mm-hmm. But when you're on stage as an actor and you're losing your audience, you really need to put your focus on your partner.
Uh-huh.
You need to really just jump in and sink into what you're doing in order for the audience to come back, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you're giving a public presentation or a public speech, your focus, if you feel like you're losing your audience, you have to engage them more mm-hmm. or, you know, do whatever you're doing, inform them, teach them, wow them, but you have to do it more because mm-hmm. your focus is in the wrong place. You started focusing on yourself, or you started focusing on your PowerPoint, and you're losing your audience. So ask a rhetorical question. Get them involved with what you're doing. So there's a whole
So plug your company.
So Annie at apowerfulvoice.net. Annie at apowerfulvoice.net for any public speaking, for voiceover coaching or acting coaching. You can find my number there and my email, annie@apowerfulvoice.net.
And let's just spell your name too for anyone who wants to find you on Instagram or
yeah.
anything like that.
So Annie, A-N-N-I-E, Meisels, M-E-I-S-E-L-S.
Thank you so much for being
Thank
with us,
Carrie Butler.
Annie, my best friend.
That was
friend.
So fun.
Thank you so much for listening to Breaking Broadway, produced by Broadway Podcast Network. Opening song by Aaron Accurso and Joey Mazzarino. If you like this podcast and want to hear more, please like, leave a comment, or share with your friends. See you next time for more insider tips to making it on Broadway.
Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.